Well, good morning. Want to wish everyone here a happy new year. Hopefully, this year will be a better year. You know, with today being the first day of 2023, I hope that each of us will put behind the old year and start fresh. First, by thanking God for the past year. Yes, I know there's been rough days and there's been hard days, but there's also been many blessings also this year, or this last year. Let's face this new year with hope for the future by keeping our eye on God. You know, there are many challenges that are set before us in a new year. If you remember back in 2019, the latter part, 2020, 21, with COVID and the lockdowns, it was a miserable year, 2 years. And now we are coming out of the COVID era, and this 2023 looks to be a bright year. Although you wouldn't think so when you go to the grocery store. But you know what? Jesus tells us in Matthew 6 and verse 33, if we're faithful, we put His kingdom first, then our needs will be met. Granted, you know, we may not be eating T-bone steak every night. The Lord will provide. 2023 holds the potential to be a very good year. Hopefully, it'll be the best year of our lives. The good news is that whatever it is, whatever the new year brings, it depends on the choices that each and every one of us make, and not the choices made by others. Too many times we allow people in our lives to tell us how to feel, tell us what to think, tell us what to say or not say. But as God's children, the only voice that we should listen to is God's Word. Now, I'm not saying that we should not listen to brothers and our sisters. That's not what I'm saying. But with society today that has so much turned their back on God and God's Word, and in reality have taken God out of everything, who should we listen to? God or man? With this coming new year, let us pursue a righteousness that exceeds, that goes beyond. Let us do those things that perhaps we struggled with last year. Let's try to make them a priority this year. Let us pursue a righteousness that exceeds. Matthew, or first of all, Revelation chapter 3 and verse 8. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door that no man can shut. For thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word and hath not denied my name. You know, God opens up many doors. And it says right there that no man can shut. But you know what? You can shut it. No one else can. We can shut the door on the opportunities that God provides. Again, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and has not denied my name. Let's keep that in this new year. Do we know the name of the Lord? Have we kept His word? Pursue a righteousness that goes beyond. Matthew 5, verse 20. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Well, this is Jesus speaking here, and the problem that we have today is the old law, the law of Moses that Jesus lived under when they had the priests and the scribes and the Pharisees. We no longer have that in the Lord's church today. But we have those that speak great words, that try to influence, that try to remind us that, you know, God's dead. Let our righteousness exceed the naysayers. Then we read in Acts chapter 20, verse 35. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Did you notice the first part of this verse? I have showed you all things. I know some may simply be thinking and turning it over in their mind. Well, you know, John, the things that go on today is so different from Jesus' day and the apostles' day, so how in the world can I follow the Word of God when things are so different? Again, did you notice the first part of the verse? I have showed you all things, not some, not a little tiny bit, but I have showed you all things. How that so laboring, you know, here what we're learning is if you would simply look and read, understand that we labor in supporting the weak, to remember the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that it is more blessed to give than to receive. I read a story about a man who had a little yellow Hot Wheel. You know what those are? Those little metal cars that run on the track. When he was in about the fifth grade or so, the teacher decided that during the Christmas holiday that they would do a secret Santa. And everybody would pull a name out of the hat. So the young boy was excited. He went home with his little piece of paper with the student's name on it. His mom went out and bought a really nice gift for him to give to that student. So the day came. He gave his gift, and the student was real excited to get that nice present. But it was his turn. And what he was given, wrapped up in old newspaper, was a little yellow Hot Wheel that was basically on its last leg. Scratched up, been played with. He was heartbroken. He didn't, you know, I gave such a great gift to that other student. how can you be so cruel and give me basically a piece of junk? Well, the man said it was not until years later that he found out that he was living with his mother. She was very ill, didn't have much money. And then he realized the precious gift that that young child had given him his best. Too many times, you know, we think that it's great to receive. But have we ever truly thought about how blessed it is to really give? And this is not really talking about giving of a gift. I believe the intent of what Jesus is trying to get us to understand, it's more blessed to give of ourselves. Am I right? Romans 12, verse 21. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. How many have you ever been in a situation where someone is doing you harm, and perhaps you just want to lash out and make that person's life miserable too? Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. You remember what we just talked about in Acts chapter 20, verse 35? More blessed to give than to receive. If evil has been given to us, should we not give good in return? We must pursue a righteousness that exceeds, that goes beyond, above and beyond those that are around us. We need to step out of our comfort zone. How many are comfortable? How many of you have got a favorite chair in your house that you just love to sit in? And if someone comes over and they sit down on that chair, you become uncomfortable. You're thinking, that's my chair. We need to get out of our comfort zone. Again, Revelation 3 and verse 8. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. Are we ready and willing to go through that door? Or are we in our comfort zone, to where we simply refuse to go beyond? And no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. You know, we all like to be comfortable. We've got clothes that make us feel comfortable, that we like to wear. It doesn't stress us out. But too many times when people start talking about change, we get all stressed out. We get kind of upset, and we don't want to do it because, you know, it makes me uncomfortable. I'm not used to doing this, or I'm not used to having this pushed on me. Maybe it's time we get out of our comfort zone. Maybe we don't sit in that comfy chair all the time, and maybe sit in somewhere else to where we can realize, hey, my life has gotten too comfortable. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Did you notice what it said here, the last part? According to the power that worketh in us. It's not of ourselves. Where do we as Christians get our power from? Where do we get our ability? Where do we get our strength? Is it from the TV, the radio, magazines, the internet, social media? No. We get our power that works in us through the Word of God. No more, no less. There's absolutely nothing wrong with reading magazines or watching TV, but you know, the thing is we get comfortable in doing those things, don't we? Why do you think social media has gotten such a bad name? It may just be me, but I think social media has gotten a very bad name because people are able to get on there and state whatever they feel that they want to say without fear of reprisal. Right? It's like standing on a dark corner where nobody can see you and you're hollering, "Fire!" No one sees you. No one knows that it's you. Now to Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask. And this is talking about Jesus Christ and Him crucified, the Father in heaven, according to the power that worketh in us. If we don't put that power in us, how do we expect to use that power? If we don't put the Word of God in the hearts, how do we expect to be able to use that Word? You know, with this being a new year, maybe it's time we get out of our comfort zone. James chapter 4 and verse 2. You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. You know, how many of us look back over last year and saying, well, I didn't get everything that I wanted. How many ever watch the old program Christmas Story? Remember, with Ralphie? Towards the end of the movie, after all the gifts were open, the old man, which he's known in the movie, asked Ralphie, well, did you get everything you wanted? Well, I guess so. Not really. Too many times we're like that, are we not? We have problems dealing with the fact that we didn't get everything that we thought we deserved. Well, here James tells us that we lust and we have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Yet fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Why? Well, James don't leave us in the dark here. Because the very next verse in verse 3, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss, in the wrong attitude, with the wrong desire, that ye may consume it upon your own lusts. You know, I've said this before, and I'll probably end up saying it again. Remember the old Janis Joplin song? Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? All my friends drive Porsches. Asking amiss. Asking with the wrong desire. You ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lusts. We need to step out of our comfort zone. Take your Bibles, open up to James 5. James chapter 5. Now let's look at verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. Now let's talk about that. You're going to probably be thinking, well, I'm not sick. Nah, I don't think that's what it's talking about. In some aspect, yes. Confess your faults one to another. Why? Because we're human. We make mistakes. We sin against one another. And pray one for another that ye may be healed. Healed of the sorrow, the regret, what we said, what we didn't say. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Do you believe that? I do. In fact, I got a text message from Brother B.J. Clark about his wife, Tish. And he wanted to thank everybody that he'd been sending these texts out to for their prayers. Because he firmly believes that prayer is effective. And a little bit of news, his wife's doing pretty well. The swelling in her brain's going down. They think they got all the lymph nodes out that was cancerous. When they done an MRI, they did not see any more cancer in her brain. And he attributes the well-being of his wife and the healing power because of prayer. Verse 17, chapter 5, James. Elias was a man subject to like passion as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Boy, it's a long time without rain. But you notice the thing about it is, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. Elias has suffered. We suffer. Elias looked forward, I would assume, to a new year. Do we not also look forward to a new year? And may we use this year to glorify God? We need to develop our own spirituality. Too many times people rely on the spirituality of someone else. Right? You know, we only come to worship because somebody else comes. You know, it's the only time we get to see each other. Not really coming to worship, but you just want to visit. This is especially hard for young people. Because starting out, most young people, their spirituality is because of their mom and dad. But once they leave home, if they've not developed their own spirituality, what happens? Many times they leave the church because they've not grown spiritually themselves. Romans 8, verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And I don't want anybody thinking that what I'm teaching is predestination, because that's not what this verse is talking about. The predestinate is the way of salvation. God predestinated the way for us to be saved. Not that that person is going to be saved and that person is going to be lost and there's nothing they can do to change it. But notice, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed, changed from the old sinful person to a spiritual, God-fearing, loving Christian. Let me read in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in who? Christ Jesus. Have we done that? Maybe we're still striving. Maybe we need to look within ourselves to see if we have the same mind of service and love and compassion and the willingness. You know, God has no grandchildren, only children. Each one, win one. You've seen this before, Matthew 28, 19 through 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world or the age. Too many times we become frustrated and give up too quickly, too easily. But what we need to do is we need to focus on someone. One person. We need to focus on someone, one person, rather than making a shotgun approach to spreading the gospel. If you take your song books and look at page 387. I don't know if the church here has ever sung this song before. I don't remember. Lead me to some soul today. Now, I'm not going to lead it, but I want us to read it. Lead me to some soul today. Oh, teach me, Lord, just what to say. Now, Jesus is not going to whisper in your ear. But if we study, we understand the gospel, we can teach. Friends of mine are lost in sin and cannot find their way. Few there are who seem to care, and few there are who pray. Melt my heart and fill my life. Give me one soul today. You know, I don't think the Lord expects us as individuals to baptize and convert thousands. But I do believe He expects us to teach at least one. Let us embrace the challenges of the new year. Let's make a difference. Let's resolve to live above being mediocre. Let's strive to be the best that we can for the cause of Christ. Let's make this a memorable year, 2023. If you're here this afternoon or this morning and not a Christian, today you have the opportunity to obey the gospel, to be baptized, and have your sins washed away. Or if you're here and already a child of God, perhaps see that you've not been living faithful and you want to make a fresh start in the new year. Would you come as we stand and sing the song of Him?